All right. This evening I'll be reading from Galatians 6, 1 through 10. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. That's Galatians 6, 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will receive destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
So, back into Romans again. Back on the roller coaster. We took a long, slow climb, clacking up that hill, as we looked through the introduction and we wondered if it would never end until we reached the top and looked down and went, oh my goodness. And then, of course, we noticed a sharp corner at the bottom of the hill. We're going to pick up from there as we desperately hold on to perhaps something that we weren't really expecting as we were looking through Romans chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. We're going to actually pick up reading in Romans chapter 1 and then carry on to what we want to talk about tonight. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at verse 18, if I can ever get these glasses open. Bless you. Sorry, that's the Ukrainian in me coming out. When you live in Ukraine, someone sneezes, it's all you always respond. Doesn't matter what's going on. So, будь здоров. Be healthy. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God has made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who was blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they do not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That was the really, really steep hill that we careened down as we gathered speed off of this roller coaster that is the book of Romans. And then suddenly, verse 1 of chapter 2. How many of you have ever been on a roller coaster? I'm not going to ask you how many you like roller coasters, because too many of you are going, oh, no, oh, ouch. You're only as old as you think you are, or as your bones creak they are. Suddenly at the bottom, you're snaked around a corner and you're thrown in. Hopefully you're sitting beside someone that you like, because you get real cozy real quick as you pull on those G-forces and you're thrust around the corner. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you. Paul kind of just throws us into a corner. Says, you don't have an excuse. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. We talked a little bit about that 2 weeks ago as we looked at Romans. We talked through that list of sins. A couple of them real easy to dismiss: sexuality, homosexuality. But you know what? The other list is a heck of a lot bigger. And I'm willing to bet you can all find yourself in it somewhere. Matter of fact, I know you can, because I know you disobeyed your parents at least once. We all are in that list. Paul says, how dare you judge someone? Jesus said it this way: hello, hello, you have a beam sticking out of your eye. How are you trying to get a toothpick or a splinter out of your brother's eye? Come on, really? Get rid of the beam first, and then you can actually see. Matthew chapter 7. Paul continues, and you know what? I might wish that he didn't. I might wish that he turned the corner and we left some of this stuff behind already. But Paul is still in the midst of this, and so we need to take a look today. A little farther and a little deeper into the judgment of God. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man? When you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? You know what? Let's just pause there for a moment and ask for the Lord to be our teacher this evening. Father, as we spend time looking at your word and looking at what Paul wrote under your influence, I ask that it would be your words that are spoken tonight, not mine. Lord, I ask for each person here that we would hear your voice and that we would know your message to us. Lord, I ask that this would be time well spent in the light of all eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't kid yourself. Ever have somebody say that to you? Don't kid yourself. Usually it's because you're trying to be something that you're not, or you're trying to maybe not act your age. My kids like to do that to me. Oh, come on, Dad, really? Yeah, right. That's what Paul is telling us today. Don't kid yourselves. Who is Paul writing to? What kind of people is Paul writing to? Very vague question. I realize that if you get the right answer, you'll be lucky. He's writing to the church, which means he's writing to Christians. Jew and Gentile, definitely a massive rift right down the middle between the returning Jews and the new Gentiles that are now managing and running and operating the church when the Jews used to before they all got kicked out. But Paul is writing to a church, and he says, you have no excuse, every one of you, because the very thing that you look across the church to see in somebody else and you say, glad I'm not like them. I would never do that. Really? You've lived their life? That's not me. We are without excuse. James tells us, listen, you break one, you're guilty, guilty, guilty. See, you and I have this really weird idea, don't we? We look in the mirror and we say, oh, gee, God was lucky to get me. I ain't so bad. Look at what I bring to the table. Wow. You know what God sees or what he saw? Two things. When he looked at me, he saw a man stained with sin, filled with self-righteousness, filled with better than thou, holier than thou, filled with all kinds of. And he saw someone worth redeeming. You and I have to get a hold of the simple fact that we are just as bad as anybody. I don't care if it's a murderer. I don't care if it's Hitler himself. I'll stick with past generations. I won't go currently political. You know I lived in Ukraine for 13 years. My sin was just as deserving of death as anybody alive. I didn't commit the biggies, no. I've never cheated on my wife. I've never killed anybody. Never stolen a car or burned a house down. At least not intentionally. I'm guilty. And the least sin is falling short of God's standard. We're going to get to that in Romans chapter 3. But we forget that there is nothing in us that makes us worthy of judging someone else. Nothing. Therefore, you have no excuse. Do you suppose this, that when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and you do the same thing yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? I love verse 4. Verse 4 is so rich when you look at the words. Look at the words, how Paul describes God in the midst of saying, how dare you? Look at how Paul describes God. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness? The immeasurable wealth of kindness that God extended to me. that God extends to you. Remember, we're not talking salvation here. We're talking to Christians. His tolerance. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes I do. Oh, wow. God puts up an awful lot with me. God's awfully tolerant of me. And patience. You remember Peter? Lord, my brother did it to me again. Does that mean I have to forgive him? Seven times, maybe? What did Jesus say? Peter, look in the mirror. How many times do I forgive you? Every day. Oops. But because, this is where Paul gets really up in our faces. Verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Folks, let me be real clear. We as Christians will stand before Jesus Christ, and I am so looking forward to that day. At the same time, I am terrified, because I know when I look into his eyes, I'm going to know everything, and I'm going to know worse. I'm going to know that he knows everything. And my life is going to be laid bare before him as I walk through. This isn't whether I get to heaven or hell. That's what we call a different throne of judgment. That's where we know if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God is the one who writes them there, and he's the one who knows that are there. But when we as Christians stand before the Lord, we will give an account for our actions. We are told that over and over throughout Scripture. Please, folks, pay attention to that. We will give an account for our actions. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation for the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person, verse 6, according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Well done, you good and faithful servant. But to those who are selfishly ambitious, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. I'm not a Jew or a Greek, so I guess I'm okay. Oh, wait. Jews or Gentiles? You're either one or the other or both. For there is no partiality with God. That word partiality is really kind of cool. It means God will not be swayed by your face. Puppy dog eyes aren't going to work. Tears aren't going to work. Excuses aren't going to work when we look God in the face. Revelation tells us that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Every tear. But that means there will be tears. That means there will be grieving. Trish read for us from Galatians chapter 6. Don't kid yourself, Paul says. God is not mocked. God's justice cannot be mocked. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That's how we tried to raise our kids. We didn't raise them on the farm, so it wasn't like sowing and reaping. But we told them, listen, there are consequences for your actions. Don't think of punishment or discipline. Think of consequences. They would, I remember sometimes, they would look at us and can I get away with it? Dad, what if I, it's your choice. You can do it if you like, but you know there will be consequences. You know there will be. You and I are the same. Our choices have consequences. Some of them will never be seen on this earth. But don't kid yourself. God is not mocked. For what we sow, we will reap. We will. For all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. This is verse 12. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Paul goes on from 12 to 16 basically to tell the Jewish listeners of what he's saying. Listen, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you've got the law or whether you don't have the law. You're guilty. You're guilty. There's no excuse. Swedish theologian Andreas Nygren said it this way, the heathen's conscience stands as an objective witness, showing that he actually knew what he did was wrong. How many of you can look back over your entire life and never have a twinge of conscience? Oops. Guilty. Who are we to judge someone else? Who are we to judge one of our brothers or sisters in Christ? I was in Bible school. I had a teacher once who related this story. He says, you know what, when you get to heaven, when Jesus comes back and we're all in the lineup to get in, you're going to look across and you're going to see somebody and you're going to go, oh, no way. They made it? No way. Says, don't be surprised. They're looking back at you saying the same thing. Folks, please. Our choices, our consequences have choices. Yeah, there we go. Our choices have consequences. And one of the biggest and most evil, I'm going to say it this way, evil sins that you and I can do and is rampant and rife across Christendom today is unforgiveness. Holding a grudge. Thinking I'm better than somebody. That, you know what that does? That says I know better than God does, because guess what? God forgives them. Who am I to not forgive somebody whom God has forgiven? That is sheer arrogance and insolence. And as Paul said here, stubbornness. I don't like them. I don't like what they did, so I'm going to hold on to this. It's called holding a grudge. Yeah. It's called bitterness. It's called division in God's church. God doesn't like it. That was the problem in the Church of Rome. You have two groups of people who both thought that they were better than the others. So Paul had to write to them to say, don't make me come up there. Folks, us sitting here today need to stop and ponder. Are there people, are there brothers and sisters in Christ who you have not forgiven? Are there brothers and sisters in Christ who you sit in judgment on? They're accountable to God. Sorry, not to you. If you know of sin in someone's life, we read about that in Galatians. Come alongside them. Put your arm around them and say, hey, we need to talk. Kindness, tolerance, patience. Those are the words that Paul uses to describe how God interacts with you and with me. That's how we need to interact with each other. Patience. Love. Wah. Love is an okay word until you read 1 Corinthians 13. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love forgives. Love says, I release you to God. That is between you and God. But as far as we're concerned, I'm happy to walk with life. I'm happy to walk through life with you. How dare we sit in condemnation of someone else? A little later on in the book of Romans, Paul is going to tell us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's the one who has the right to judge. And someday he'll ask us, say, let's talk about this. But the sin is paid for. The purchase price of salvation is done. Unforgiveness. Just a couple quotes. If you've been to the forgiveness workshop, you may recognize these. Unforgiveness takes us out from under the mercy seat and puts us into the judgment seat. I'd rather be under the mercy seat, thank you, than to sit as judge and to be judged by those around. And Philip Yancey put it this way. This is a positive spin on the same thing. So, by forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. Folks, we need to pay attention to what Paul says in Romans. We need to understand that we are not in a place to judge, to condemn, to hold ourselves aloof because fill in the blank. Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes. He kind of wraps things up this way. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. Folks, you've got a choice. Stubbornness or forgiveness. Please, please, for the sake of your soul, for the sake of your mental health, for the sake of the Church of Jesus Christ, choose forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, I don't understand your grace, but I thank you for it. Thank you for loving me and for seeing somebody worthy of redeeming, worth redeeming. Father, and you see that when you look at each one of us. We are no different from each other. So So, Lord, I ask that you would be growing in our hearts your attitude towards each other. May you be glorified in this church. May you be glorified in each life that is here tonight or that listens to this online. May you find in us a heart touched by your kindness, tolerance, and patience, and willing to have you reach out through us with those same characteristics. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.